KUOW podcasts are made possible by listener support. Become a new or renewing member today at KUOW.org.
From KUOW 94.9 Seattle, I'm Ross Reynolds. Today, younger children are being diagnosed with mood and behavioral disorders and given medication. We're not talking about teens or even tweens. Between 2001 and 2007, the number of 2 to 5-year-olds using antipsychotic medication increased by 49%. For parents and therapists, it's sometimes hard to tell if your child is showing signs of a serious disorder. A child's moody behavior can be relatively normal. At what point should you decide to medicate your child, and what should the concerns be about the drugs that are used? Dr. Robert Hilt is from the Department of Psychiatry and Behavioral Science at Seattle Children's Hospital to answer some of these questions for us. Thank you so much for stopping by.
I'm glad to join you.
We're at 206-543-5869. That's 206-543-KUOW. It's toll-free 800-289-5869, or write to us, conversation@KUOW.org. Don't forget, Dr. Hilt cannot diagnose anything over the radio. He will give you his best information possible. Perhaps this is something you've dealt with as a parent. Give us a call, 206-543-5869. What kind of a decision did you come to, and how did it work out for you? Is it safe to prescribe these drugs to kids who are so young?
It's important to be cautious anytime you prescribe medications to a child 5 years of age and under. There are a number of reasons why it may make sense. Some children with very severe forms of ADHD, which has symptoms present before the age of 5, are having so much dysfunction in their lives and being able to socially interact with anyone and being able to just basically function, that medication becomes an option. And there's been research looking specifically at the best way to help those very young children. The first intervention is not medication. It's to work with a therapist. It's to work with parents to try many things other than medication. But there are times where that is really very important to be able to make a significant difference.
It might be hard for people who don't have kids or don't have problems with their kids to imagine what kind of behavior could prompt a parent to put such a young child on antipsychotic medication. Yeah. Without naming names, just giving us an example of what we're talking about.
Well, so regarding the idea of using an ADHD stimulant medication, for instance, if you have a 4-year-old that's so physically hyperactive and unable to focus, if they're sprinting out of the house, running out into the road, that's a very dangerous behavior. If they're climbing on top of the fridge because they impulsively want to jump off of it, again, a very dangerous behavior. If they cannot be in a preschool class because they're so incredibly disruptive. You know, I've worked with parents who've said, gee, my child's been kicked out of 8 or 9 different preschools. Very significant dysfunction, which is far different than just, oh, they're not able to pay attention as well as some other child. That's not a case I would consider in medicine.
And how about the frequency of these kind of incidents? If you have is something that would happen every single day or maybe more than one time a day for a kid who's got some problems?
To consider medication in someone under 5, I'd definitely be thinking about a regular occurrence. This is a daily problem. This is not a once-in-a-while problem. This is a many times throughout the day extreme dysfunction, family trauma related problem.
How do you diagnose a kid who's so little? I mean, is it going to be much more difficult than diagnosing someone who was older, had more verbal skills, et cetera?
The kinds of disorders that you can diagnose in a very young child is, again, like I mentioned, early onset or relatively severe ADHD. Some children have something we would call oppositional defiant disorder, where there's a really pervasive pattern of persistent irritability, oppositional defiance in response to all situations. That is very problematic. There are some diagnoses like a severely developmentally impaired child or a child with an autism spectrum disorder who's incredibly irritable and aggressive, where if behavioral management techniques are not helpful, again, a medication might be considered.
Now, as I understand it, oftentimes for adults who have some disorders and are taking, say, drugs for depression or whatever, it's not really clear what's going to work. There's a lot of experimentation that goes on. Try this, try that. Sometimes things stop working. Is it the same with these very young children and these issues?
I think the rule of thumb with very young children is there's a little bit less predictable benefit. There is a greater chance of having side effects. So that's part of why this needs to be entered so cautiously is I'll use again the example of a child with very severe ADHD. Although a medication may work, there's a significant chance, significant higher chance of experiencing side effects. And it may not work as well in, say, as in an 8-year-old child.
What are the side effects?
The side effects, for instance, it depends on the class of medicine. So for a stimulant medication, the common side effects are suppressing appetite, which in its worst case scenario, if you're not eating enough food, it may impact your growth, which is a big concern for young and growing children. It can cause problems with falling asleep at night. It could cause some irritability, which in many cases, you're hoping to treat irritability as opposed to causing it.
I was going
to
say, you sure don't want that.
some children just don't react very well to it. That they look dulled down or not themselves. That is, of course, not the point of a medication. It's just to help them be able to function. We do not want children to be dulled down or not appearing their usual selves.
We're talking about the use of medicine for children when they have behavioral disorders. Perhaps that's something that you've done at your house or you're thinking about doing or you've done. We're at 206-543-5869. Dr. Robert Hilt is with me. He's with the Department of Psychiatry and Behavioral Health at Seattle Children's Hospital. Let's bring into the conversation a mom who had to deal with this issue. Kelly Wickham is the author and editor at Mocha Mama. It's a lifestyle blog dedicated to journal writing, and she recently wrote an article on Babbel.com titled, "What Exactly Does My Child Have?" About the tricky process of diagnosing and medication. Kelly, you've got a couple of kids with issues, and you've tried medication. What led you to that?
I have two sons, actually, with issues, and the thing that led me to it was making sure that his brain was slowing down enough to learn. I wasn't as concerned that there was some misbehavior in the classroom. My kids were certainly not out of control. They were not throwing things. They might have been running into other kids because they were just kind of not aware of themselves at the time, but they certainly weren't dangerous. But I just wanted to make sure that that enough learning was getting into their heads during the school day. And I didn't start them until late elementary school on any medications.
What did they take and how did it work?
We started with Adderall, and that didn't work because there was such a loss of appetite. And I have these naturally thin boys. They're now both 6'3 and 6'4. They're enormous. They're very tall, but they're not large. They're just very thin. And then we tried some Strattera, which didn't really work for us because there was a lot of loss of sleep. And so then we saw even more what the doctors were calling rebound in the afternoon time. And there was no learning going on. There was sleeping during the day at school, and then there was cranky and irritability later on. The one that we finally settled on was methylphenidate. But again, we did all of this with some therapy as well and changing the way we were eating at home. And doing things like we consider was, you know, catching good behavior and rewarding good behavior so that that would be more positive. And also by using just a number scale with them. Hey, you're at a 5 right now. That's unacceptable. All the way down to, hey, how are you feeling this morning? Are you at a 1? Are you able to function and listen and pay attention?
So how long have your boys been on this medicine, Kelly?
They've been on it about 10 years, actually, for both of them.
And is the thought that they'll have to be on it for a lot longer, for the rest of their lives?
Well, part of the reason I wrote the Babbel post is, you know, we initially, for the younger one, had an ADHD diagnosis, and come to find out it's more executive function. So it's really more social. The medicine, I would say, still works, but it really just, it doesn't make him sluggish. I think that he probably will need to be on it. The older son of mine actually really needs to be on an antidepressant because that was the real issue that he was working with. So it's probably going to be the rest of his life.
It sounds like it was a kind of a long journey to figure out what would work, Kelly. What advice would you have for parents who are listening, who are thinking about going in this direction?
I would say first start with therapy. You know your child better than anyone else. And I think that the hard part for me as a mom was that I had to be self-reflective and look at how I was parenting my sons. And then I would say do things very slowly. Go, probably look into foods. There's a lot of processed foods issues, and we try to eat a whole lot of healthy foods these days. Sorry, you can hear the bells. I work at a school.
Okay.
We try to eat a lot of healthy foods and things that do not have a lot of gluten in them. And then finally, I would say, you know, if you have to do medicine, make it the last resort. Don't try it first.
Hey, Kelly, thanks for speaking to us. And we have a link to Kelly's article at KUOW.org. Kelly Wickham, author and editor at Mocha Mama, her article, What Exactly Does My Child Have? And with us in the studio, Dr. Robert Hilt from the Department of Psychiatry and Behavioral Health at Seattle Children's Hospital. We're at 206-543-5869. That's 206-543-KUOW, 800-289-5869. Write to us, conversation at KUOW.org. If you're thinking about this, if you're dealing with this, and what results have you had? Let's go right back to the phones. We've got Bill on the line, and he's calling us today from Mill Creek. Bill, good afternoon.
Yes, good afternoon.
And tell us what your involvement with the use of drugs in children has been.
Well, I was a test case back in the 1950s. I'm in my mid-60s now, and at the time they called it, well, they didn't have a name for it initially because my mother took me to a different child psychiatrist, but finally we found a doctor who understood what it was, and they just called it hyperactivity.
Mm-hmm.
And they put me on amphetamines back in those days, just straight amphetamines, and it really saved my life. They put me on, and I was in fifth grade originally. And they put me in a private little military school, so they had a controlled environment and got the dosage right. And then the other side of the family was upset that they were making a drug addict out of me. So they pulled me out in sixth grade and put me back in public school. And I just fell apart. Mm-hmm. And so they put me back again for another 2 years in private school and then in public school, but still on the medicines. And they had to adjust the medication over the years, but I stayed on it till I was 18, and it absolutely saved my life.
What was the behavior that you were doing that led your parents to take what at the time must have seemed like a real extreme step, and sounds like it was perceived that way by other members of your family?
You know, having been the person involved as a child, I really was not on the outside looking in, so to speak, but I knew that I didn't have control of myself, and I knew that I never felt that I was, the person behaving the way I wanted to behave. I was kind of behaving the way I had to behave, you know. And but once I was under control, I really felt comfortable and confident, and I went on, you know, through school, and I managed to get a degree later in life and been fairly successful, but it's really because my mother persevered and got the help I needed to make this happen.
Bill, thanks a lot for your phone call. I really appreciate it. Let's go to another Bill. This Bill is calling today from Arlington. If you just tuned in, we're talking about the use of medication, particularly with very young children when there are issues of mood and behavior disorders. Bill, thanks for calling. Did you have a question?
Yeah, and thank you for taking my call, Ross. You know what? I do have a question. What other parameters are we looking at in this child's life before we start prescribing psychotropic drugs on a brain that is barely developing?
That's a really good question. Dr. Hilt, what do you say to Bill?
There are diagnostic criteria for being able to detect if there is, in fact, a disorder present. Rating scales are sometimes used to document the degree of dysfunction. But it really comes down to a clinical level, how bad is the dysfunction kind of determination, and what really is the best next step in trying to treat this.
Bill, did you have a follow-up question?
No. Are they looking at activity level? Are they looking at diet? Are they looking at, I mean, is it just in a clinical setting where they're taking labs? I mean, I got to tell you, listening to this, I'm beside myself. I don't really call into radio shows, but I have a feeling that this is just unethical, and that we're using, you know, our children as like a testing ground for these psychotropic drugs that we don't really know the effects that these have. And even with our soldiers coming back that are full-grown men with full-grown brains,
sure,
that are falling apart, you know, how can you say that this is ethical by giving it to little kids?
Right, Bill, I think you're expressing the concerns of a lot of people when they hear about this going on. Let's hear what Dr. Hill has to say, and thank you for your phone call.
Well, it's different issues for different ages, and I share the caller's concern about medications for very young children, for that group that we were first talking about, the under five set. In fact, I help the state with reviewing the use of medications for very young children. Medicaid, for instance, reviews all use of psychostimulants for anyone under the age of five, as it should be not something that's thought of first. It really should be something thought of after many other things have been attempted. There are many things that can cause taking just one of the symptoms of ADHD, inattention. So a child might be inattentive because there are some very stressful things going on in the house. Maybe parents are fighting. Maybe they have a learning disability and are unable to pay attention in school because of that. Maybe there's a depression or an anxiety problem, or someone's maltreating this individual child. So you have to think of all of these other reasons for the symptoms before you think medication is at all at the answer.
I guess the baseline question here is, with all of these younger people being medicated, presumably a lot more young people are being diagnosed with attention deficit disorder or hyperactivity. Why is that? Are we just noticing things that we wouldn't have noticed before? Or do you think these incidents are actually on the rise?
There has been a big rise in the diagnosis of ADHD in the past that is fairly leveled out at this point in time. The estimates are somewhere in the vicinity of 5% of children at some point in their life might be diagnosable with that condition. But not every child with ADHD really needs to be considered for medication. You first approach by behavior management, by study techniques and impacting the environment around the child. And even if a child seems to need a medication to achieve normal functioning in the elementary school years, children often outgrow that need over time.
As we heard there from our caller who said he had it up until age 18, the drugs that we're talking about, they don't really cure what's going on, right? They just sort of make the behavior tolerable for the individual and for the people around them. Is there any idea of why it's really happening? Is there a larger solution to this?
Well, like the caller, one of our first callers had said, having had this problem back in the 1950s, there's reports of, again, I'll stick with just ADHD, reports of ADHD behaviors way back in time. It's not really thought to be a novel occurrence. There may be things going on in our environment that have been increasing the frequency, but frankly, we don't know and can't point to anything with any true definition. It's clearly caused the rate to go up. But we don't think that the rate for ADHD is rising at this point.
Dr. Robert Hilt, thank you so much for coming by. We really appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Dr. Hilt is from the Department of Psychiatry and Behavioral Health at Seattle Children's Hospital. A lot of interest in this. Maybe we'll have to have you back to answer some more questions. From KUOW 94.9 Seattle, I'm Ross Reynolds.
Thanks for listening. The program you just heard was made possible by the financial support of our listeners. Support this program and others like it by making a pledge today at KUOW.org.